The Money Show. Investment School.
Investment School tonight with David Shapiro. David Shapiro, of course, is a stockbroker with lots of experience. He is somebody who's seen the evolution of South Africa's mining industry. And just to remind you, on the day that Nelson Mandela was released from prison, 23 out of the top 40 shares on the JSE. So this is 1990. This is within living memory. 23 of the shares on the South African main board out of the top 40 were gold mining companies. And what followed was a period of consolidation. There was a period of growth. There was a period of optimism and opportunism. And South Africa's mining sector grew exponentially in subsequent decades as we saw international managers coming in and taking South Africa's mining industry increasingly global. Well, today, a bid by BHP Group, which at one time absorbed a company called Glencore, also a South African gem, into its fold, and then promptly proceeded to ignore South Africa. Today, they expressed an interest to continue ignoring South Africa. They want to buy Anglo-American, but keep the South African assets out of the mix. The Anglo will need to sell its South African businesses if this deal is to go ahead. So what we've done is we've asked David Shapiro to come and give us a context, an explanation. Help us to understand where the pitfalls and opportunities lie in this particular transaction. And if it is a deal that one should go ahead, and if it does go ahead, what does it mean for the future of the JSE? What does it mean for the future of your pension fund? What does it mean? So let's start, I don't know, at the beginning. David Shapiro at Sasfin. He is the global chief global equity strategist at Sasfin. We've seen these pictures happen before, and Anglo's is vulnerable and BHP is hungry for growth. David, what's your reading of this offer?
It actually came as a surprise, but not really a surprise, because, Bruce, Anglo's been having difficulties. I mean, ever since it went through to London, you mentioned the 90s, but when they made the move to transfer their primary listing to London, they thought that everything would open up, and yet it became a period of difficult growth. And having been probably in the 70s, 80s, I can't remember the exact numbers, they were certainly one of the major mining houses in the world with a whole array of assets. You mentioned they're mainly gold. De Beers was one of their big assets, but they had platinum, coal, and also heavy industrial interests in that. Of course, they unbundled a lot of that as they made the move to concentrate on pure mining, but somehow it just didn't gel. It never really worked for them. And the odd thing is that BHP Billiton, as we remember it, was actually conceived by Brian Gilbertson, who came out of Glencore. And Glencore was actually a mining company that Anglo's had started or helped start to promote the Afrikaans businessman. I'm not sure the date, whether it was in the 40s or 50s or thereabouts or even the 60s and that. And here you are, the child, or what would you call it, the progeny of Billiton coming back and buying its dad. You know, there's a lot of irony in it. The thing is that Billiton today, Bruce, is four times the size of Anglo's, you know, if you look at it on pure market cap. So it gives you an idea of how this business has, how Billiton has grown, developed, and Anglo's unfortunately not kept pace at all. So, you know, today it's really a fraction of the size that it used to be and fraction of the power that it used to have.
But it is globally a fraction of the size of where it could be, should be, and maybe could have been. It is, however, a very significant and important player, not only in corporate South Africa, but in terms of valuations of shares on the JSE, the Anglo-American balance sheet, which is upon which, as David Mackay explained to us earlier, upon which Kumba and Anglo-American Platinum rely when the cycles turn and things get tough. They know they've got a big cousin in London to look after them. And of course, within there is De Beers as well, which occasionally has needed a little bit of love and support. Anglo-American also, because of its size and scale, of its importance in the mining industry, is critical in mining centers. I mean, you can't imagine the sort of the platinum belt without the high-level cover of Anglo-American. It is a big and important player.
Dead right. Dead. Bruce, that's the vulnerability, and perhaps that's the worry. Because if this deal goes through, I don't think the new CEO, Duncan Wanblad, I think, however you pronounce it, I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong.
Wanblad. I think it's Wanblad. He hasn't shouted Wanblad, at me for yeah. calling him Wanblad. I think it's Wanblad.
Yeah, they were in the process of restructuring. You know, he's taken over and he's more concerned about the, you know, the future profitability, sustainability of Anglo's. And it was being dragged down by Anglo Platts and by, of course, Kumba. Although Kumba's a very decent operation, but you know the problems here. You know, if you go through the Anglo Platts results, if you go through Kumba's having problems getting goods down to the harbor, you know, in fact, they cut back on production simply because they don't want to increase production because they can't get rid of it. They can't ship it out. You know, I don't have to repeat all the problems that are holding back corporate South Africa. The same thing with Anglo Platts, whether it's electricity, the platinum prices also haven't helped. But you made a very important point. Anglo's is always there as a backstop for this. And it always has been. It's always been considered a mining finance house. It was a mining finance house from the inception of the business. So if Anglo's goes, who's going to be there to stand behind Anglo Platts? Who's going to be there to stand behind Kumba? I think they would have got rid of De Beers as well. The only problem is it's not a listed company. So they would have had to list it first and then unbundle it. Somewhere down the line, De Beers is going to go as well. This is a very clean way of doing it, as they have proposed. In other words, they will give Anglo's, the shares that Anglo's own in Anglo Platts will be given to Anglo-American shareholders, and the same thing with Kumba. But they couldn't do it with De Beers because De Beers is not listed, but it will go as well. So what's going to happen to these businesses? Who's going to stand behind them? Mm. Big problem, I think, that has to be considered down the line.
So then, very briefly, and we'll pause for a moment, gather our thoughts and return for how we behave as investors in these companies, these various companies. Do we take the profits and run? Do we look at the signals that are being sent by BHP Group that the future is still very much in the old world, a commodity of copper? Because that's what it really wants out of Anglo American. Mm. Should the deal go ahead or not, how do we respond as investors? David Shapiro is the global head of equity strategy at Sasfin. That's where he is. I knew it. There's the sign. And he is with us this evening on our investment school to help us make better decisions. Help us make better decisions in the face of a potential offer for one of South Africa's most valuable companies.
The Money Show.
Investment School.
We're talking to David Shapiro at Sasfin and how to respond. If you bought Anglo American shares yesterday, you've made an 18% profit in a single day. You made an 18% profit in a single day. That's not a bad return. Do you take the money and run? Or do you stay invested and bet that at some point, either BHP Group is going to have to make a bigger offer, or, as we heard earlier, there may very well be other suitors at play for a whole bunch of assets within the Anglo-American stable that could make you even more money. If, when SAB Miller was first approached by AB InBev, you'd taken the first offer, you would have been considerably poorer than if you'd held out to the last minute. There are other deals, of course, which have fallen over, and companies have taken many, many years to reach the original valuation, or never at all. David Shapiro at Sasfin. How do we respond to an offer that may or may not come?
You wait. This is definitely going to be increased. There's no doubt about it. You know, every deal is sweetened. And I think the share price is telling that already. If you look at the value that Billiton is making for Anglo's, it comes to 25 pounds, 8 pence. Already the share price is at 25.60. So the market's saying this is not good enough. And I have no doubt that those copper assets, which Billiton's after, are very valuable. And this is one of the reasons, you know, that Anglo's was undervalued on the market. It was dragged down by the local assets. But the copper assets are certainly looked for and, you know, will be in demand. So hang around. This is going to get it's going to get much better for you. And Bruce, yeah, you know, you asked the question of what do we do. I think that investors are looking for, as Billiton have said, what they call future-facing commodities. You know, commodities that are going to be in strong demand for the future. You know, for future digitization, that are going to use biotechnology, that are going to use renewable energy, electric vehicles, and all of that. And copper is one of the big players there, and is one that's going to be in demand. So, I think everybody's trying to bulk up their copper assets. So it will transform the business, because Billiton is very heavy into iron ore. It's into metallurgical coal, you know, the kind of coal used for production of steel, and of course copper as well, and potash as well. Potash being used for fertilizer, sustainability. So that's where the investment is going. Those are the kind of assets that people want in commodities. And so I think the combined company will be a very powerful, strong business. I think this will go through. I think at the price, it will go through. And I think the local, you know, Anglos will want it. Remember, they've got rid of all the loyalties. The Oppenheimers are gone. All those old timers who used to be part of the royalty of South Africa, no longer there. You know, even 44 Main Street, I think, is now a school or a university. It was given away. Mm. 44 Main Street was Buckingham Palace. Or so.
We're incredibly tied to the legacy of Anglo American. We see it as part and parcel of the environment. But the signal that is being sent by, there are a couple of signals being sent by BHP here. The first is it doesn't believe that South Africa's mining sector is investable. That's a big one, and I wonder how we should respond to that. The second one is, it's also sending a signal that it believes copper is the future. How do we respond to that? First question, South Africa mining and investability, according to
you mentioned
these BHP.
Yeah. You mentioned this. Yeah, whatever you say is right, and I think government have got to wake up. You know, this is not perhaps the platform to attack government, but I think it's a very strong message that we need to get things together here. Every one of the mining companies here, from Thungela to the, you know, to the coal companies, to iron ore, platinum, whoever it is, complain about infrastructure and the inability to actually do what they're supposed to do as mine and mine at a profit, you know, Richards Bay, wherever we look. So there's an absolute need to get that right. And we've got to lay down the infrastructure. There's huge opportunities here. I haven't heard from Peter Major for a long time. I don't know, our paths haven't crossed, but he's always wonderful to talk about the opportunities that are here, you know, in South Africa.
Okay.
There's still, you know, they're wonderful opportunity.
Okay. I think that's a very good point. We will invite him to the Money Show tomorrow, Money Show explainer, and say, right, BHP Group says there's no opportunity. Is there? And that's the question. Producers are nodding. They're smiling. Thumbs up. Look at that. Everyone's happy. Now, David, the signal that is being sent also by BHP is that it's not interested in diamonds. It's not interested in South African iron ore or platinum, because it's got its eyes on, it regards to be a bigger prize. The bigger prize being copper. Copper that powered the third industrial revolution, that will power the fourth industrial revolution. Mm. And they're willing to pay up for it very, very seriously.
Yes. And Bruce, the other point is, I have no doubt around the world there will be assets, you know, somewhere hidden in the earth or in the mountains of Peru or Chile, there's copper. But you don't want to go and buy some kind of deposit now and spend the next 2-10 years chipping away and trying to get to it. So the easiest way to do it is to actually buy an existing operation. And I think that's what Billiton's doing. It's not unusual. Anglos were past masters at that. You know, Kumba was owned by Eskom. I think wherever we've been, you know, they've actually accumulated assets. So it's even De Beers. If you go back to the history of De Beers, it was owned by Cecil Rhodes and the Bonata boys and brothers. So it's the easy way to do it. So they would rather pay up and know that they can get pay back almost immediately and have to now go and find deposits and spend years and go through huge kind of hassles now, trying to find a mine. So I think that's also part of the reason why they will pay up for these assets, you know. And also, as you said earlier, there are a lot of other birds of prey around waiting to pounce on this as well. Certainly Rio's or someone like that. Have they got this kind of money? Would you do a share swap with Rio's? I'm not sure. You know, I'm quite happy with Billiton.
How does this affect the value of my retirement annuity? How does it affect the value of my long-term investments? BHP Group comes in, takes out Anglo-American, doesn't want the South African bits, and takes the best global assets sees them. What happens to the value of the JSE? What happens to investors who are invested in this business?
It won't affect them. In fact, you would rather have a company like BHP, which is capitalized, about 3 trillion rand, with plenty of muscle to expand, to go into new projects. It's got lots of cash. It's got a balance sheet that can sustain, you know, poorer times, high margin businesses. So, but it's by far a better business than Anglo's. So you're actually swapping an underperforming asset or an underperforming company or a company with issues for a much better business. I think that's what it comes down to. So BHP's listed on the share of JSE. Okay. You will still get value for it.
Okay, that's important. However, had I been terribly excited about AB InBev's takeover of SAB and I'd stayed invested in AB InBev, I'd be very disappointed. Here's the world's biggest brewing company buying the world's second biggest brewing company, pays a massive premium, £46 or whatever it was at the time, £100 billion takeover, biggest on the London Stock Exchange, rah, rah, rah. The company's worth less today than on the day that they bought SAB Miller. It's from an investment perspective, not been good.
No, but at the time, AB InBev bought breweries with debt. It was heavily indebted. You know, and look at the structure. So from that point of view, debt has kind of weighed on them for many, many years. I personally think that breweries were significantly better than AB InBev. It was a much better business. And at the end, of course, the price was just, you couldn't turn away from it. But I think the structure of the deals, just recall the debt issues that AB InBev have and how long it's taken them to wind it down. I still think it drags them down. And this is mining. There's a big difference between booze and mining. You know, I think you can produce bottles of beer in any country at any time, at any shape. But copper deposits, not that easy to define, as I explained. So I think different structures. And Bruce, it's important, you know, that's the beauty of mining companies, is that it's not easy to get these deposits. You know, you've got to go through so many hurdles and hoops and that to get it approved to eventually mine and that. So although the global economy is stuttering at the moment as well, it will come back. But I like BHP. I think it's a superbly run business.
Mm. Thank you, David Shapiro at Sasfin. Very, very valuable input for us this evening, explaining the opportunities open to you as BHP sniffs around Anglo's drawers, so to speak, on The Money Show.